Let's get into Hebrews. We're in chapter 13. The final chapter here of Hebrews. Now, last week, we went through those first three verses of the 13th chapter. And such a wonderful three verses. Spent a lot of time on them. But it really is the finishing touches there that the Lord is so encouraging in our heart. And I know in this meeting at this time is the love. And by His grace, it needs to be unconditional. It needs to be the maturity love that God Himself has for His children. He can give it to you, and only He can. And it really will change you. I was speaking with a brother, and I said, you know, through my life, I think there's really watershed moments, you know, or different things the Lord, you know, is taking you through. And, you know, obviously this last year, the Lord's brought me into something very wonderful. And I know that apart from God, we can't follow Him at all. Apart from God, He has to draw us to Him. And truly what the Lord has brought me into in a lot of ways is so against my nature, because I am really, naturally speaking, not a very still person. I'm busy. I got to be thinking of things and doing and all of these types of things. And this is something that the Lord puts you still, and He puts you real still. But there's purpose and there's meaning in it, and it's a wonderful thing. And as I told this brother, I said, you always want to be you, but you want to be you before the Lord. And that you're the vessel that He creates. And I know that He's changing me. But as I was saying that, the Lord encouraged me. He says, yes, son, I'm changing you from glory to glory into the image that I want you to be, which is even to my very own. But that's all of us. I hope you understand that. It's not just because somebody's a teacher or a preacher or any. It's where God's put you is the treasure. That body, and I'm talking that rib portion body, is a full body. Isn't she? Wasn't Eve a full, complete body? Sure she was. And there's every different position in that body. Take what the Lord's given you. Be content where He's put you. And by the grace of God, open your life to Him. Don't hold back. I really do believe the Scriptures are true, and it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Hallelujah. But again, in these first three verses that we read, I just wanted to summarize them a little bit. It's the brotherly love, it's Christ's love, and it truly was the highest call and is the highest call of love. And we mentioned this a little bit on Sunday, but it's hindered by one thing, this love. I really do believe that one thing. Obviously, it's us. You're the only one that's going to keep you from going on with God, no matter if you think it's the person across the row or the pew or your neighbor, whoever it is. When you don't go with God, it's your decision. But I will say this, the main thing that hinders us is our self-love. If we're focused on ourselves, if we're focused on our needs and our desires and our wants, we will never fully attain the height of His love. You heard me say, I believe, last week or the week before, Brother Hill had mentioned many times that he truly didn't believe that you could be selfish and win God's best. I believe it. Christ's love is not selfish. It's freely given, and we need to be that way. So whether it's entertaining angels, as we read, as Abram and Lot did, or even the exercise of undue kindness, and that's being kind to those that don't even deserve it. And a lot of people don't deserve to be kind in a lot of ways, but the Lord said, do good to them that despitefully use you, didn't He? Huh? It's like throwing hot coals on their head, too. I guess He gave you a little benefit in it. But I hope we wouldn't think of it that way. He wants us to be kind. He wants us to be loving. He wants us to love the unlovable, and only His love can do that in our life. And going beyond the call of duty, I was thinking as well, too. And I had to think about Rebecca a little bit and her watering of those camels. She didn't need to do that, did she? She really didn't need to do that. She gave him water, but she didn't need to water all them camels and all that. She could have said, hey, get yourself down here and get your own water. I'm going back in. But she decided that that was something that she was called to do. And just like Rahab, she didn't need to hide those spies. She was risking her own life, didn't she? But they saw something. There was something that drew them, and really it was the love of God. And the repayment of God for living and bestowing His love is truly riches untold. Rebekah won Isaac, didn't she? Hallelujah. Rahab became the very lineage of Jesus Christ. The harlot became the line, the bloodline of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And if we, hallelujah, will allow His love to effectually work in us, we may even attain to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What do you think? I think it's going to be worth it all, isn't it? You think we can be a little patient? Tarry just a little while longer? Show the love of God. And really, by His grace, I really don't believe we have to try to do it. I don't think it's something you try to do. I just think, again, it's that word let in the Word of God. Let this mind be in you. Let the love of God be in us. Just let Him do it. It's not anything you're going to push or try. It's going to be something that will happen in your life. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's go on to verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Marriage is honorable. God placed special honor to marriage. God even brought and created, hallelujah, the very first bride, which was Eve, gave her to her husband, Adam, and that's Genesis 2:22. This is very precious in that the ideal place for a man and a woman is not in separation. It's not, even though 70-some percent of our marriages now end up in divorce. God intended for man and a woman to be in union. Can you imagine that? Now, the Word of God also tells us, Paul, he said, if you're a widow, if you can remain as I do, if you're single, if you can remain as I do, that's good. But it's better to wed than to burn. And I got to thinking about how God is so precious. He created us, didn't He? He did. And He's given every provision for His creation to be successful. And it's all in His Son. We have desires. We really do. Believe it or not. We have wants. We have needs. We have all of these different things. But God gives us the provision in all of those needs, wants, and desires that we can still serve Him. Did you know that? Yes, that we can yield to Him. And this is one thing we're going to talk about in wedlock. I think this is such a precious testimony of how God has created this wonderful creation. And yet, He didn't create us truly, in a sense, to fail. He gave us His Son. That's the greatest success tool there ever could be. Do you know that? You're victorious in Him. You're more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. That's the provision that we have. Now, let's read about this in marriage, because marriage seems to be the thing that gets defeated the most anymore in this world. Getting awful quiet on me tonight. I don't know if we're sleepy or listening, but I think you're listening. Praise the Lord. But it says, this is divine wedlock, God calls it. Bone of bone, flesh of flesh, in mutual affection one toward the other. The Word goes on in inspiration from the Holy Spirit, giving marriage the greatest meaning of a type of for Christ and His love of the church. And it even goes on beyond that in Christ and His intimate relationship with the bridal company. And it's so wonderful that God states the benefit and the wholesomeness of marriage very first in all of these wonderful things that we're going to read about what God can do in our lives. It has the wonderful benefits, and marriage, when under the hand of God, helps keep us from the latter part of this verse as being whoremongers and adulterers. God, I'm just going to tell you something. As Christians, there is a judgment for us on this earth. Did you know that? On this earth, there is a judgment. Now, by the grace of God, we're being judged for our rewards, aren't we? Hallelujah. But there are consequences when we don't align ourselves with the Word of God. When we live by the things of God, it's pleasing to Him. But when we do not live by faith, and that faith is just merely believing, hallelujah, trusting this Word, our life truly can become a shipwreck. We truly can get so far away from God that our life, we can even believe a lie. I know people that are in that state right now, that they're so far away from God, they've drifted so far away from the truth, so far away from the grace of God, that they're turned even into a lie. And don't think that it doesn't happen to Christians. I want you to understand that. And I know that there's a sweet brother that's having that situation with his family right now in this meeting. And what can we do? We can just lift him up and pray. But his love and grace through faith truly does sustain us. When we turn away from the love of his instruction, we literally can waste our lives. We can live leanness. We can almost become spiritually dead. We can blend right in with the world and the enemy. There's no difference because we're not allowing the light to shine out in our life. I've seen so many waste their lives, wasted away for many, many years. And you know, there comes a time when it's really too late. I'm telling you. There all comes a time when you've wasted so much, you're just never going to get it back. You really aren't. The fruitful time is going to be gone. God is still faithful. I want you to understand this. He is still faithful to our lives. But there is a sorrow in not reaping all of the rewards that He has for us. Because there is such beauty in the walk of a life that is walking with God. God wants to restore beauty into your life. And He wants to bring beauty into your life. And naturally speaking, you can have it with your family. I think that's such an epitome of the type and a shadow of what God has for us. And if we'll yield to that, Lord willing, we're going to talk about Sunday, to enjoy the possessions that the Lord has given you. To enjoy your possession. And you're going to find out the only way that you enjoy that possession is when you're living your life in the promise of God. It's true. But see, there's so many pieces of our life. You know, we're a pretty complex little individual, aren't we? I've got family, I've got friends, I go to church, I go to work, I go all of these different places. But, you know, the world always tells us to compartmentalize. You know, you've heard that before? Hey, you get this little piece here and this little piece there. Well, when you have all of these little pieces here, it's hard to manage, isn't it? You're all on the altar needs to be laid. You need to come clean with God. Every bit of your life. It is so important. The Lord's been so impressing that upon my heart. I know that He wants me to give that same word to you. We want His best. I want Him to complete me. I want everything on that altar. So, Lord, You're taking care of it. And what a precious place that He can bring us to. And there's beauty in that. Why do you think that the Scripture, twice in it, mentions the wife of thy youth? That's Proverbs 5:18, Malachi 2:15. Christ desires it once in our life. I'm going to tell you that about our marriages. It truly does. The Word of God wants us to be married to one person for our life. Does that happen very often? No. Can God still bless it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because why? He's the God of infinite grace. But He set things up. I want you to understand that. That's why I'm really speaking to young people especially. And those that have gone through that, whether you have a marriage that has been there for all your years and God has blessed it, wonderful. Those that have been through a divorce that understand that, you know what, there were things that maybe I should have done differently. Maybe I could have done differently. Maybe there's wisdom that God has put in your life. Share that with a young person. And I can tell you pretty definitely the reason that a marriage doesn't work. It's because the two people don't put God first in their life. It's going to come back to that. As a Christian, you're marked. You are marked. You can't get away from it. God loves you. You're His child. I love my kids. By His grace, they're not going to get away with things. Daddy loves him. How much more does God love you? This life could be really, in a lot of ways, pretty simple, couldn't it? But see, we complicate it. If we'll love Him, truly love Him, put His Word in our life, we'll love people like they should be loved. We'll love one another like we should love one another. Okay? Those are hard words sometimes. But I hope you understand, there's victory in that. There's such victory in that. And that's why I say with these young people and different ones that are getting, you know, together with other young people. I used to tell this to my class all the time. Don't give your heart away to anyone until they've given their heart away to God. And that's just the start. I hope you understand that. I have seen many people that have got married that really, you would say, yeah, Christ was first in their life. How did they divorce? The love waxed cold, didn't it? They left their first love. I want the best in life. I really do. I really do. I want the best in life. And the one thing that I found is it's in Jesus Christ. But it's everything in Jesus. And the really most important natural union that you're going to have is with your spouse. I want to fight for that, just like I stand by the grace of God for the Word. I want to stand for my spouse. I want to stand for that relationship. And I know by the grace of God, if I'm loving the Lord like I should and walking with Him, His grace is upon me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, really, all over my life. And I want that for my wife, but she walks alone as well, too. But that's the wonderful thing about when you're chasing after God's best. There's times each one gets tired. Thank the Lord, it's usually at the opposite times where the other one kind of picks you up, huh? That's infinite grace. See, you see things like this. You understand that this is where you go for your answers. Like you've heard me say, and I'll tongue-in-cheek it a little bit, but it's true, you'll save yourself a lot of money when you realize that He's the counselor. He does. He wants you to have a wonderful marriage. He wants you to have a wonderful family. God intended that. He gave you promises with that. He tells you to love men, love your wife. He tells the wife to honor the husband. Many other things. He tells the children to respect the parents. He tells the parents not to spare the rod. Huh? He tells the parents that if you raise a child up the way in the things of God, give them the Word of God, get them to Sunday school, get them into church. When they're old, they won't depart from it. They might in the middle. Maybe. Just really pray. Because you know the benefits of the Lord. See, that's the sweetness. That's the joy that He wants us to have. The love of God that He can bring into our life when we do align ourselves and our life with the Scripture. And this isn't in legal terms. I don't just do this to get. I do it because I love Him. Do you understand that? You have to be drawn to this. This is something you just open your heart with and say, Lord, thank You for Your just unconditional love that You give me. There is no way I could ever earn this. I just love to see the deepness and the fathomless grace of God and getting into it. Just like I mentioned the other day, Bill Gates has a lot of money. I don't care what your talent is or how cute you think you are. You could never earn that money from him, naturally speaking. You'd have to be worth about, what, $500 million an hour? And to be able to work for 30 years? Well, I don't think you're worth that, are you now? Huh? How much more God? He owns it all. Gates is a pauper compared to him. Now, let's really come to face. Isn't it an insult to God to think that our self-righteousness, my goodness, anything that I could do, could merit or earn what he has? I think that really puts it in perspective to me. Come on now. I would not walk up to Bill Gates in his door and say, well, Mr. Gates, I'm a really talented guy and I can earn all your money. They'd get the straitjacket and lead me away in handcuffs. That's right. How much more God? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes I get a little bit simple with things, but it means something to me and I pray it does to you too. But marriage scripturally is... For three things, the Lord points out here. Producing children. Preventing us from immorality. Cleaving to the wife. The bed is undefiled. God knows what He has created, and this is His way. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 7:2. That's 1 Corinthians 7:2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication... let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. See, when we love one another, God can keep us, doesn't He? Huh? Again, in the Word of God are your answers. And this wonderful Word is the blueprint of a life. and it's love. And there's specific instructions that he gives. Now, the Corinthians, as we know, they struggled with fornication. They struggled with a lot of things. I think, obviously, maybe this spun out with the Romans as well, too, and all the different things that they carried on with, which was the destruction of their society, eventually, they believe. I believe America's headed right there, too. See, when you break up that family unit, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to happen anymore. You'll go back in books, and I'm not trying to get all strange on you, but because I don't want to open up a can of worms, but there were different ones throughout history that have been very wealthy individuals and families that weren't thinking like 10 years down the road. They were thinking thousands of years down the road. And they wrote books way back in the 1200s, 1300s, about how they were going to take over the world. Those families are still here today. Now, do we worry about that? No, because God has the hands of those kings and all of them right in His hand, doesn't He? Okay? I get excited about this stuff because maybe they'll print, you know, like Brother Neve was talking about on the money. There's the Pope on the money. They got one world money. We already got the chip in the hands and the head and wherever else it is. They even put it in your dogs and animals now. Isn't that something? Look at my poor dog, and I was just joshing. I said, well, sometimes that dog's so bad, I wonder if he really does have the mark of the beast on him. You can ask my wife. She is a bad, never mind. But where I was going with this is that they wrote these books and papers and all, that the way that they were going to do it, very first thing was to strip God out of society. Strip Him out. Get Him out of there. Dope. Opium trade. All of those things. That had been going on for years. Hundreds of years. Uh-huh. And that would destroy the family unit. Once they've done that, they could conquer the people. We got people now that'll strap bombs on kids and send them into houses and buildings. They're without natural affection. It's been here, but now it's really here. It's the generation that God's going to have to destroy. It's upon us. Right? If you're going to face it, let's face it. Now, I'm an optimist because I know my time's coming. My payday's about here. By the grace of God, the ones that diligently seek Him are going to have a reward. I want to be in that rank. Hallelujah. It's coming. I don't want to get off too much onto that, but Lord, just throw my thoughts there. So the second one was preventing the morality. The third one is avoiding solitude. It was not good for man to live alone. That was in Genesis 2:18. He who has found a wife has found a good thing. You say that out in public, and boy, they're really going to think you're crazy, aren't they? No offense, ladies. Goes both ways, doesn't it? But isn't it sad we've come to that? More precious than rubies, isn't she? That's the virtuous woman. I think of where society is trying to bring men. I look at where society is trying to bring women. It's like they're trying to make a woman a man and a man a woman. It's true. Sad. We're a wonderful creation. And that does make me sad. But at the same time, it's about over. And our time's about ready to begin. Amen. Amen. So don't be too discouraged. But in marriage, I would just close with this. Let God make your choice. Yield. Put Him first, always. And reckon that old man dead by the grace of God all the days, especially of your married life. And I believe He'll give you wonderful harmony in it. Remind me of that when you see me in a woe time. Okay, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as ye have. These are some pretty strong points here we're talking about tonight, aren't they? They're getting right to the heart of everything. Again, so against what our society is. Everything on TV, everything that you see, get more than what you have. Borrow more than what you ever needed. Borrow more than what you could ever repay. That's the American way, isn't it? The great debtor nation. I appreciate my brother. We discuss sometimes. That's one of the reasons why we are the greatest, most innovative nation in the world. Because we spent more money than anybody else. We've borrowed more money than anybody else. Anybody else understand what that deficit means? I don't understand it real well, even though I was in economics, almost had a major in that in college. It was a minor by accident, so I had to take some more classes in it. But it basically, that deficit, you understand, is our borrowing. Our borrowing and our borrowing. Mm-hmm. Be content with such things that you have. There's a godliness with contentment is great gain. Praise God. But this translates even more properly. Let your manner of life be without the love of money. And again, what hits us all the time? Whether you pick up a magazine, who are our kids' heroes? You know, who are the smartest people really in the world, at least that we're supposed to think? Who are our politicians? They're people that have made a lot of money, aren't they? Movie stars, athletes. I mean, I'm sorry, I have to scoff a lot of times and to think, no, wait a second. You know, and I'm not saying college makes you smart either. But I look at a lot of these people up there and different things, and I'm saying, well, they had no education at all. They had a pretty face. They caught a break. Or, you know, they could shoot a basketball or play football real well or whatever it was. And they've become a genius. What do you think of that, huh? That's what our society thinks of money. I was talking to a man today. We were talking about people with money. And I said, well, I said, one thing I found out about people with money doesn't mean you're smart. God puts up whom He will and down whom He will, doesn't He? I've seen fools riding. I've seen princes walking. Some of the smartest people I've ever met are people that are just kind of trying to hump it as they go along every day, you know, just trying to make a living, trying to do this or do that. Know it. Yeah. Say it like it is. I'm not going to say it any other way by the grace of God. But the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Doesn't end there. Which while some coveted after, that means they went after this money, they have erred from the faith. Okay, now we're talking about Christians here, aren't we? They erred from the faith. They had faith. The only way you can never have faith is in Jesus Christ. All right? That's us. You're running after money. You covet these things. By the grace of God, you could, but for the grace of God, you could err from the faith. And have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. The man of God flees these things. What are we to follow after? Righteousness. Amen. Godliness. Faith. Love. Patience. Meekness. You know, it's just so amazing to me, I have to tell you. I didn't, you know, and you understand, I don't just pick the books or anything or, you know, where we're going to study, where we're going to read, where the Lord's bringing us to. You think about the things we've been studying in Sunday morning, how they just align themselves up with this. I just so thrill with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. It's divine. Talk about an arrangement. We are a blessed people. We are a blessed people. And I can honestly just tell you, you don't realize it's just truly by faith. The Lord just gives it. And it is perfect. And I think about reading through this as the Lord gave us this study for this week. It's righteousness. It's godliness. It's faith. It's love. It's patience. It's meekness. I mean, those particular things, just how when we were talking about the mystery of Christ, that's it. And how perfect this just fits together. Fight the good fight of faith. See, the man of God flees the money, flees the things, follows after the eternal riches. And then by doing that, by the grace of God, you can fight the good fight of faith. You can lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. How much clearer does it need to be, huh? But see, we get tied up into these things. It causes us to err from the faith. And by it, we inflict ourselves with many sorrows. God doesn't inflict us with those sorrows. Does He? No, He doesn't. Because He's warning us. He's telling us. He's saying, get away from that. You know, we're going to read in the next part of this verse, I'm going to supply all your needs. Huh? I'm the supplier. It's not your work. It's not your talent. It's not your labor. Now, the Lord tells us to keep our hands busy, to do whatever we do is unto the Lord and glorify Him in it. I believe as Christians, the real testimony is when we show up to work, we work hard. We're diligent. We're not slothful. We're not lazy by the grace of God. The Lord doesn't want you that way. That's not a testimony. Am I stepping on toes here tonight? I don't know. We're in this chapter, brothers and sisters. We're going to rightfully divide the truth. These aren't my opinions. I'm giving you the Word of God. Better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. Okay? All right. You know I love you. I know you love me by the grace of God. All right. But when we're obsessed with things, we can be blinded. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to be rich to love money. I truly have seen in my life more poor loving money than even rich loving money. Probably because I know more poor people than rich people anyways, but or ones that didn't have as much. But it's true, and you know it is. It can happen to anyone, and it can happen at any time. When we don't, as we were reading there in Timothy, when we don't be the man of God and flee these things. Look at that word flee. You've got to get away from it. Flee to me is kind of running from it. You think he's talking to us in the year of 2005? This is money thing world. This is get whatever you want. How many credit card solicitations do you get in your mail every week? Huh? Borrow. 2 and 3 jobs. Now I'm going to say something that's going to be really hard for some people. Why do you think we have both the husband and the wife in the workforce nowadays? It's things. It's the love of money. It is. Do you believe that God can put your home the way it should be and still allow you to make the money that you need to live? Is He your supplier? He is. Trust Him for it. Now, if the Lord has you working, that doesn't mean you're... I'm not saying that anybody's a heathen here, and I don't want your head all dropped low. But I want to go after the things of God. I want my life to be aligned with the things of God. And He specifically and very clearly tells us in His Word that these are how things are supposed to be. Do we want God's best, or do you just want to comply with the world? You want the easy way out? Just go ahead and go comply with the world. You think it's the easy way out. That's the road of sorrow. It is. It's the road of a wasted life. There's such joy when we do, again, align ourselves and bring the Word of God into our lives. Now, let's say that we haven't been doing that in our life. Don't be discouraged, because He's the God of great comfort. And He's the God of infinite mercy. But He's causing you to hear this tonight. By the grace of God, Brother Hawkins talked about choices. This is an incredible choice. Make the choice to go with God tonight. Say, Lord, let me go with You now. You can say, well, it's impossible. I've gotten myself so deep into this rut, into this walking hand in hand with the world and the world's way. And it doesn't look bad to man because everybody else does it. But you know what? It's an abomination to God because that's not how He intended it. Said, Brother Jess, you should have preached 100 years ago. That would have fit then, huh? Come on now. Come on. I want the best. I want the best right now. By the grace of God, the best to come, but I want the best right now in my life. Huh? Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Life's hard enough. Let's align ourselves with the Lord and get some joy, huh? Amen. Amen. All right. And it's so sad that many think that they can play both sides, I put down here. And it really doesn't work that way, does it? Because, see, when you think that you can play both sides of the fence, the flesh will eventually consume you. And in a moment, you're going to realize that you've missed it, and you're dealing with a mess of pottage, and it's never going to satisfy you. It is. See, as Christians, we just think we can do that. We can come play church on a Sunday. I'm so thankful. I hope you understand this. I'm not trying to just say, hey, you got to come to church every week. You got to do this. You got to come to all the services. And all. By the grace of God, I hope you do. I think it's wonderful to come. But I understand that we have lives. I understand that there's different things that we do and all of that. But God needs to be in every minute of our life. I want to live the Spirit life. I could come to church all the time and not live the Spirit life. I hope you understand that. There's people that might use this as just to say, this is my social hour because I don't fit anywhere else. Well, praise God, I guess, if you don't fit anywhere else, you're coming in here. That's a good place to be. But I want you to understand that, again, it's not because of a duty or an action that causes us to be spiritual. It's the state of the heart. That's what God is pleased with, and that's what He's going to look upon in us. But it doesn't work that way when we can think that we play both sides. Rather, we need to know that He never leaves us or forsakes us. We need to be content with such things that we have, trusting that it's exactly what He wants us to have and exactly where He wants us to be. Now, come on. I mean it. Everything. What is that? Philippians 4:19? I'm jumping a little bit ahead of where I'm supposed to be, but I appreciated that again. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Jesus Christ. Not some, but all. We talked about it on Sunday. I told you I appreciated Sister Lynn giving her testimony on that. Was that the Sunday before, whenever that was? But she was talking about that. And it was so precious to me because that supply and all the needs, everybody starts thinking again, these are just my natural needs. Well, I need my food, I need my clothes, I need my money, I need all of these different things. The greatest need that we have is the need of the obstacle to be able to overcome to win Christ as our own. That's all the needs. That's the need of maybe me losing my job. Well, how could I need that? You might need some patience, brother. What do you think? Might be the need of my family just getting, throwing me completely out. Saying, you're such a nut going with Jesus. You know, you're in a cult and blah, blah, blah. I know there's people been with that. But it might be that. They're trials that we're going to need to have. Like I told you. You thank Him for when you find that parking place next to the supermarket. Do you thank Him when you don't find it? What happens if you had the one on the very back? Do you say, thank God, you're exercising my heart, Lord. I needed that exercise to get there. I was throwing out the little poster, you know, you get lemons in life, but you're going to make lemonades out of it? It's true. That's right. That's what a Christian does. All things work together for good of them that love God. When I am in the center of God's will, I am safely hiding. I know that He perfects that which concerns me. My life might look like I'm a total loser to people. It may look that, man, I've just been a complete flop. If I have been running the race, it's the greatest thing I could ever be doing. Unemployed, but winning Jesus Christ is my own. What do you think of that? College dropout, but yet I won Him. I encourage you to be what the Lord wants you to be. I think He blesses His children greatly. But it's not just naturally speaking, and He does. But it's with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ Jesus. All right, I don't want to get bogged down, but that's sweet talk. All right. But again, I think it's good by the grace of God to be content with such things that we have. But I also believe that the Lord makes different ones of us dreamers to pursue our dreams. And I think it's a wonderful thing. I really do. I love to aspire. I hope you understand even now, you know, you say, well, I guess Jess doesn't aspire to anything more. Shoot, I love to fly. Brother Ty knows I love to fly. I love to have a faster airplane. I really would. I like my hair on fire. Lord knows that. I like roller coasters more than my kids. Kind of always been like that. But it's Christ first. And it's His will. Lord, you can cause me to dream what you want me to dream. I put down, but you know what? God, shut the door if that isn't including your best in my life. That's the faith I want to have. Say, Lord, you've given me that desire. I told you about my music and different things. That was something I really desired. But one thing I didn't get to finish up, and I appreciated talking to Sister Vesta when she was here. When the Lord shut that, when I was in Europe, when I had that job and place to sing, and it was just a wonderful opportunity, when He said, this isn't for you. And that was almost as audible as God ever talked to me. It wasn't like I cried or moaned, and it wasn't hard. I can't tell you why, except it was God. It was something that I did really, literally every day, all day long, probably since I was about 14 years old. And then all the music I had since I was 5 helped to get to that point. And I loved that music. God took the desire from me in a moment. In a moment. The day before, I was singing before a bunch of people, and they were just telling me, oh, that's the greatest stuff. You're going to go as far as you want to go. We'll get you down to Italy. We'll go over here. You can be in all these opera houses. It's going to be wonderful. And I was excited. The very next day, brother, the very next day, I know the Lord sovereignly told me, son, this isn't for your life. Go back to the United States. I'm just telling you, it wasn't hard. Now, there's been some other things in my life that have been hard, but that wasn't hard. See, only God can do that for us. He can give us such a peace. Turn my affections and my desires to such things that please you, Lord. That's a novel idea, isn't it? Quit being selfish. Give yourself to God, and you won't believe the peace and the satisfaction that will follow. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Philippians chapter 4, 11 through 13. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere, and in all things, I am instructed both to be full, yet to be hungry, both to abound, and yet to suffer need. See, that's kind of like that sermon we talked about, the tents of Kedar and the curtains of Solomon. Huh? Do you see the balance? All things in moderation in your life. You start getting obsessed about something, say, Lord, help me. You start thinking about it at night, Lord, help me. Moderation in all things. All things. I can do all things through Christ, which or who strengthens me. Praise God. Now, quickly, the last part of that verse, I don't want to make you too tired or glad twice, but the last part of that verse says, I will never leave or forsake you. We're going back to the fifth verse here. But it says, I will never leave you or forsake you. It goes in with verse 6 here, and let's go ahead and read that. So that we may boldly say, see, we don't have our thoughts on the money. We're going to be content. Because why? Because we got a promise. We got a wonderful promise here. I'm not going to leave you, and I'm never going to forsake you. So that we may boldly say. See, I want to go boldly to the throne of grace, and I want to be able to boldly say this. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. See, He's the God of all comfort. We don't put our confidence in uncertain riches, the money, the job, etc. Rather, we seek the forever riches, the eternal glory. Knowing that He's with us always. Again, that Philippians 4:19, that He supplies all our need. He's worried about and concerned about our riches in glory. Not our riches in my bank account here, because that's nothing. It's in glory that He's concerned with. And that's why God gave us His wonderful Son, because that's going to bring us all the glory we could ever need. And again, it's not some, but it's all. It's every detail. Do you really believe that He's concerned with every detail of your life? He is. The hair on your head, your thought afar off. Think of how many sparrows. I love it. My wife, she feeds the birds over there, and sometimes I think I have to get a separate job to feed them. But they're right outside my window, and the squirrels and the raccoon and the fox, and never mind. Feel like Dr. Doolittle back there sometimes. But you think about all those sparrows that come in every day. And I mean, there's hundreds of them that come around there, and it's just one little spot. There's more birds than anything. Did you know that? And of all the birds, there's more sparrows than any of the other birds. And not one sparrow falls to the ground that God doesn't know about. And he says, don't you think you're just maybe a bit more valuable than a bunch of sparrows? I think he's trying to tell us something, don't you? He knows you, and he wants every bit of us, and he wants that trust and that confidence in him that says, Lord, I boldly say, you're my helper. I want to boldly say that. It's so precious that he's my helper. That's when he's my sufficiency. That's when he's my confidence. That's when he is my all in all. That's my shepherd. Our wonderful Psalms 23. That's my shepherd. That's your shepherd. My God shall supply all your needs. It's not some God. It's not a God. It's not a God everywhere. I was talking to that lady at the table. I believe she has accepted the Lord as her Savior, but it was just, you know, more of the universal God, and, you know, he's up there and it's great, and he's personal. He's yours. This is the omnipresent God. Everywhere, all times, 24/7. I love him so. And then he gives you the Holy Spirit, and the Lord's been bringing me so much with that, thinking about those three joints, that three in one. But yet, they're three separate entities moving as one, but they have a specific work. I just love where the Lord's taking me. I'm thrilled. I don't even want to go there. We'll be here too long. But it's in that kind of a relationship of true faith and full assurance is where I fear nothing. Amen. Get after myself, and been starting to get after my kids a little bit about fearing things. Perfect love casts out all fear. It's gone. God's love is perfect. Get more of the Holy Spirit in your life. It says he sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. See, this is when he can bring you into... See, as adults, I understand. I'm there. I've got kids. I understand the fear. You don't have money, you fear. You have money, you fear that it's going to go away. Huh? Why? Because we're a creation of fear. Without God, we fear. Without his love, you're going to fear. I want great faith. That's pleasing to God. And that great faith puts my confidence in him. Letting him know that I know that you're never going to leave me or forsake me. I know that you're my helper. I know that there might be all of these different people in this world that truly may hate me. And there's going to be people that hate me because they don't even know why they hate me, but it's just because I'm a Christian. Did it in high school. But God has his hand on me. I was telling my boy the other day, he was kind of upset with his coach, didn't start him in one of these games. Truly, I said to him, I said, do you think if Jesus wanted you to start in that game, there could have been anything that wouldn't have caused you to start in that game? Do you believe it was for your good that you didn't? Even as a kid, learn these things. I wish I really, in a lot of ways, knew that more as a child. Everything. He is concerned with everything. And everything that's in your life as you're yielding to him, it's perfect. It's perfect. Don't think you've wasted your life just because he's had you in a position that may seem lowly in this world. If you've got Christ and you've got the vision of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, you have got everything. You have got everything. I'm sitting mighty still these days. I used to be a pretty happening guy, somewhat in the business world. Somewhat. They don't even call me anymore. My accountant was kind of embarrassed today that I couldn't do the numbers real well in my head like I used to. He said, you must be in something else now, huh? He's a Christian, he said. And he said, huh, brother? And I said, yeah. It's going to be worth it all. I don't need the praises of man. I don't need the praises of man. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. That's when we know we're the apple of his eye. That's when we mentioned earlier the hearts of the kings are in his hand. You know he can keep you in the furnace. Yeah. He can keep you in the desert. Think he did it? A couple million he had out there. Maybe three. I think he can keep one. Keep as many as he wants. And then he can keep you in the depths of the sea. Did that with precious brother Paul. He can keep you anywhere. If we'll come to him and believe, as it says there in Hebrews, I think it's 11:6, that he is. Believe that he is. What an awesome God we serve. That's the peace that passes understanding. Let's pray. Thank you again, dear Lord, for this time tonight. Thank you again for your word. Sometimes we know, Lord, that some of these things are hard. But you know, you give us great grace. You give us great love. And Lord, we just ask that you would help, even beyond enlighten our understanding, illuminate us. Allow the love, allow this word to truly and effectually work in us, that we may be pleasing to you. That we may become the men of God that you would want us to be. Thank you for the promise and thank you for the love. In Jesus' name, amen.